guys. Welcome to the After Sunday podcast. We're on episode 15, and we're going to be talking about the sermon series that I preached, a sermon I preached on Sunday called When God is Silent or Silence. The big idea around the message was this: God's silence is not the absence of care. It's an invitation to draw closer to Him, worship without answers, and trust that He hears you. The key scripture here, I'm going to read the main passage here. It's in Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, if the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour."
That's good stuff.
What an awesome passage, huh?
No, that's awesome. It was great. It was a great message. And all the points, they went together, they built something. They put together a really good picture, a really practical picture, right? Because we've all been here. But kind of just going through those points as a quick review, the first one was who she was and why that mattered, right? So it's this Canaanite woman came carrying everything that was working against her, right? Sure. Outside the covenant of Israel, outside the Jewish community, outside their religion, she's not in that crowd, right? Yeah. She doesn't belong.
Yeah.
She's an outsider to them, right? Has a history of paganism.
Yeah.
And actually an enemy of God's people, right? Yeah. She arrived probably expecting hostility, right? To be rejected, to be pushed away, carrying the anxiety of all that, right? Yeah. Stepping into a place where she is an outcast, but she's driven by desperation,
yeah,
right? This maternal desperation. Her daughter's in danger. She's willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right? That's where she is, because nothing was going to stop her. None of these obstacles, none of this stuff was going to get in her way.
Yeah.
She was driven by desperation. Past that barrier, all that didn't matter.
Yeah.
She was going to get to Jesus.
Absolutely.
So that's massive for the story. Putting yourself where she was, understanding who she is and what she's stepping into.
Yeah. And it's crazy how much depth just three words, a Canaanite woman, right?
Yeah.
That's the story.
Oh, for sure.
And I mentioned that in the message I preached yesterday, or on Sunday, excuse me, how God puts things in scriptures for a reason.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's so easy for us to overlook those things. Mm-hmm. And I think knowing who she was really shows us above and beyond just her situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
How determined she was to get to Jesus Christ. Right.
Yep.
And so one of the things that really drew me to this passage when I was preparing was about how God responded to her.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because oftentimes we think, oh, God is a God of provision. And God, He is a God of provision.
Yeah,
He's a God of help. And
absolutely.
But God's response wasn't help.
Right.
His response was silence.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in verse 23, it says how He answers her not a word. But He knew what she was going through, right?
Yeah.
He knew who she was. He knew where she came from. He knew her struggles. And He knew that she had been through everything possible to try to heal her daughter.
Yeah.
He knew that when she cried out, "O Lord," she was acknowledging Him not only as a good man or a good prophet,
right,
but as God Himself and the authority that He had behind it to help her daughter. But He didn't answer with, "Your daughter's healed."
Mm-hmm.
He answered with nothing.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when we hear nothing from God, we take it as rejection.
Right.
Right.
But that's the wrong response.
Exactly.
Right. And that's not the response she gave, because we saw that Matthew 15:25. Do you still have it pulled up?
I do.
Could you just read it real fast?
Yeah. Verse 25.
Verse 25.
Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me.
That's a really, it's a crazy response.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, she's sitting here trying to talk to Jesus, and he's just nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And this is her response. That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, she's, and you think of how uncomfortable this is. Sure. I think of a goofy example of the first time I went over to Haley's parents' house and met them for the first time, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in hostile territory, right? I'm being judged. Yeah. I'm being evaluated,
sure.
Right? Am I good enough? That's super uncomfortable. Like,
yeah.
You're very out of your element. You're not acting the way you typically would, right?
Sure.
And for her to have the kind of wherewithal, right, to be so in control in this seemingly hostile environment where she seems to be getting ignored,
yeah,
rejected. She's an outcast in this group of people where she's at, but her response is worship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it speaks to her faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like you said, she's not seeing him as just a good man.
Yeah.
To her, this is God.
Yeah, absolutely. And even more so than that, right? It's worship in spite of knowing if not that he'll heal his daughter.
Yeah.
In
the absence of his action.
Exactly. In the absence of his action, having traveled all that way, having been through all the things she had been through,
yeah,
being a servant of servants, right? Mm-hmm. You have the Romans,
right.
Then you have the Jews, and then you have these Gentile dogs.
Right,
which,
yeah.
It's called, right?
Yeah.
So she is an underclassman two times down, twice removed, right?
Yeah.
And what's amazing is that God tests her,
mm-hmm,
by calling her what was culturally acceptable back then,
right?
A dog. And how even she could partake and eat of the crumbs that fall,
yeah,
from the master's table.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times God's responses to us seem offensive.
Right. Oh, man.
But really what he was trying to do was he's trying to garner her response.
Yeah.
Like, how is she going to take,
mm-hmm,
this label? And you know what she did? She owned it.
Right. Yeah.
She says, I am that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right. But even I can have the crumbs at the master's table.
Yeah.
And what she demonstrated to us was how real faith is persistence under pressure.
Right.
You know? And he responded. He responded with, great is thy faith.
Right. Yeah.
Which, just thinking about this, right? What was the common phrase that Jesus told his own disciples? Oh, ye of little faith. And so
it's true. No, it's true.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's very true. And then her stepping in is just like great faith.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And we know the disciples were not immune.
Yeah.
Right. To kind of that labeling culture.
Yeah.
Right. Of this woman is beneath us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. But now they're hearing Jesus.
Yeah.
Great faith.
Yeah.
What a moment for them, right?
Absolutely.
What a moment for them.
And I'm sure from those disciples who tried to get her sent away.
Right, yeah. Oh, man.
Jesus acknowledges her,
mm-hmm,
in spite of their refusal to.
Yeah.
And then performs a miracle that only he can do, right?
Yeah.
Super cool. Getting into this, right?
Super cool. Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hearing nothing from God.
Yeah.
Right. Have you experienced silence before?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Not in your marriage, but I'm talking about in your marriage. The answer is yes for me on both counts. Not a no, not a yes, not a wait, which,
right,
that can be hard in and of itself, right?
For sure.
Just nothing.
Yeah.
We have the devil on our side, on our shoulders, telling us, hey, you know, you don't deserve an answer.
Right.
You're, yeah, not worthy of an answer. Look at what you've done, who you've been.
He's tired of you. He's not putting up with it anymore.
He doesn't care.
Right.
Right. You've told him about this how many times?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've prayed this for how long and you've not seen the action? And sometimes God is quiet.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But absolutely. As he was quiet with this Canaanite woman,
mm-hmm,
he heard her.
Yeah.
Right. The question I asked the church, you know, mm-hmm, was around the silence and what are you going to do in that silence?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you going to let it be the reason you quit? Give up? Say, you know what? I'm going to stop praying for this. I'm going to stop asking for help in this area.
Yeah.
Or are you going to use it as an opportunity to get deeper in your walk with God?
Right. Yeah.
So one of the things obviously that stuck with me when I was writing this sermon was how she worshiped before.
Honestly, I thought it was really cool how you brought that up. I never really thought about it.
Yeah.
Right? That it came before. Because obviously, you know, if you're not paying super close attention,
yeah,
we've all heard the story before.
The lepers were healed, right?
And right, they, yeah.
Most of them rejected it. The one went out afterwards, what? And proclaimed.
Right, exactly. Happened, right? Yeah. And you know, I've read this passage. Yeah. I know what happens. I know in the end he responds. He does what he does. I know that.
Yeah.
But like the order of which these things happen mm-hmm. matters.
Absolutely.
Because she worships before the action.
Yeah.
And I really liked how you brought that out.
Yeah.
But sorry, go ahead.
No.
I really enjoyed that.
It's true. I mean, God's silence, God's chosen men's dismissal.
Yeah.
And her answer is this, drawing closer to God and worshiping him.
Yeah.
I mean, what a humbling thing to think about. You know, and I mentioned in the sermon on Sunday how, we are like children.
Oh,
when we don't get what we want, there's consequences, right?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
You know, when my son doesn't get a nap, there's consequences for all of us, right? We bear that burden together, right. And he makes it known, right? Right?
Yeah.
It's just a phase we're going through right now. It's a real phase, right? But for us, we act so childish. Yeah. We think we're something high and mighty, but when in reality, God, you do this for me, and then I'll worship you.
Right.
God, you do this for me, then I'll do something for you, right?
We want it to be a transaction.
Yeah.
I get, you get.
Yeah. So that was one thing that really stuck out for me, and how God, our worship of God should come prerequisite of if he'll answer, when he'll answer, yeah. and how he'll answer.
Yeah. I like that bit right there at the end. How? Because I go to Paul and Silas in prison, right?
Yeah.
In her case, we see like a silence, right? We don't seemingly see anything, right? You look at Paul and Silas, they've been imprisoned.
Yeah.
So it's almost not like it was silence, almost like it could be perceived.
Yeah.
It's like punishment. It's like, well, I must have done something wrong because now I'm in jail, right? But the response is still worship.
Yeah.
And I think really we don't worship enough.
Absolutely.
Right. I think really we don't worship enough. I think it's a lost thing. Mm-hmm. I remember growing up, you would just pass people humming a song.
Right? Yeah.
Humming. I would hear my mom while she was doing chores humming a hymn that we had sang at church the day before. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because she was just worshiping.
Yeah.
It was just passive. And then there's doing it actively, like right when there's silence, when things seem to be going wrong.
Yeah.
The answer is still worship. Worship is the default.
That's right.
Regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, worship is the default. But is it our default?
Yeah.
And I'm not excluding myself.
Yeah.
I have to catch myself. And even as we sing at church,
yeah,
I actively have to keep in my mind. I have to kind of almost imagine to myself, if I was standing before God right now singing, is this how I'd want him to hear me?
Yeah.
Right? Am I doing this for him? Or is this robotic? Yeah. I'm just at church. It's worship time, so I'm singing. Right?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And I fall into that. And I have to actively catch myself. It's like, no. I'm worshiping God.
Yeah.
So he's listening.
Yeah.
What kind of worship am I offering him right now?
Yeah.
I think worship is so important. It's important.
It's almost an identity.
It is. Yes.
Because you can worship God through your marriage, through your being a parent, through your workplace. I think of that story of Paul and Silas in jail, right? And you have the Philippian jailer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I was thrown in jail and suffering, and I get freed.
Right.
I'm not going to, I'm getting out of there.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's book it.
Exactly. Right. And I'm like, getting mad at God. God, why'd you put me in here?
Yeah.
Now, let's glorify God and lead people to Christ
in
the midst of it all, right?
Yeah.
So I think one of the things I mentioned in the sermon that I didn't go super deep into for sake of time was around, but I did mention it, how God's silence, right? Mm-hmm. And from the outside looking in,
yeah,
and what I've heard in the past, you know, is God is silent because he's judging you.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, or God's silent because he's testing you.
Mm-hmm.
Or God's silent because of the sin in your life.
Right.
Right. So how would you navigate those things?
I think I view God's silence maybe a little bit differently than some people.
Sure.
I understand the silence we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have the Bible. I have the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I might not feel like he's leading me in a certain direction or another, right? Yeah. Or giving me an answer to my prayer or this or that or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But someone once told me this while I was at PCC, and they said, God's, he talked about the ominous will of God.
Yeah.
He said it like that too. He was really dramatic about it. The will of God in your life. He's like, we act like it's this vague thing that we can never know or understand. Yeah. He said, guys, God's will for your life is to live obediently according to Scripture.
Yeah.
Right? And there are answers in Scripture to our questions.
Yeah.
The things that we're supposed to be doing, what to do when he's silent.
Yeah.
We have that built in with his Word. And I believe sometimes God's silent or silent, right? Because we have his Word, because there's nothing else for you to do now except just live out Scripture. That's what there is for you to do right now.
And her first response, right, when it talks about this Canaanite woman, means was that she came from her coast.
Right.
There was no mention of God leading her. There was no mention of the Holy Spirit directing her. There was no mention of should she go?
Right.
But what'd she do? She acted.
Yeah.
She acted in what? Faith.
Yeah.
In accordance to knowing that this man must be of God.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. There was no, I call it like the super spiritual intellectual Christianity. Right? Where it's like hyper-spiritualized, where it's like, oh God, if you have 5 raindrops on my windshield, then it means I'm gonna turn left here, and if it's 6, I'm gonna turn right here, right?
Yeah.
No, right? You're looking for signs and places that are extra biblical,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
And for her, I think it's quite possible that she tried all other options,
right?
And then decided to come,
right?
Right.
That would be reasonable, right? We would do the same thing.
Yeah.
We would all do the exact same thing.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think when it comes to discerning which one you're in, you have to lean into both at the same time. You have to say,
right,
you know, because can sin separate you from God?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, it can.
Absolutely.
Now, not from salvation, but from a relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you have sin in your life, God will reveal it to you.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And it's up to you to not sear your conscience and to be sensitive to those things. And,
yeah.
And if you are going through sin in your life this morning or today, I implore you to repent. Repent, because God, the Bible does talk about how your prayers can be hindered.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Mm-hmm.
So there are qualifiers to God's qual, you know, to prayer.
Yeah.
But I think for this woman here, for example, right, she's like, I'm going regardless.
Yeah.
And I'm going to worship regardless. And I'm going to fall to my face and honor him as Lord regardless.
Yeah. You got to wonder about her, what she's thinking on the way there.
Yeah.
Right? For this to be the response.
Yeah.
It's so hard for me to imagine that this is all just knee-jerk reactions.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
This is a prepared mindset. This is someone who has already, who's thought through this.
Yep.
If he rejects me, I'm going to worship. If he does it, I'm going to worship.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm just going to worship him. Like, this is a mind that was set
ahead of time. Sure.
Which I also think is something that we always don't think to do.
Yeah.
And I tell my teens all the time, I'm like, if you wait for this situation to come up and you do nothing to prepare for it, then when it comes, you're going to make the wrong choice.
Exactly.
So you're going to react wrong. You're going to do the wrong thing. And it's not going to go well.
Exactly.
But if you'll start working now, thinking of like, David and Goliath. David didn't pick up a sling for the first time.
When it
came time to fight Goliath, right? I mean, this was his job.
That's right.
And he took it seriously. He did it well. This is a prepared mind that's come here.
Amen. That's good.
It's so, I don't know. It's such a good. It's
James 4:8, right? I mentioned it in the Bible, the message. No. You know, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you.
Yeah.
The first action comes from us.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes, you know, we see it as, oh, I'm going to wait for God to show me, and then I'll move.
Right.
When in reality, God's given you the wisdom in Scripture.
Exactly.
To take these biblical principles and apply them, right? A common one, an easy one to give is if you are a husband or a wife or a spouse and you have responsibilities mm-hmm. to support your family.
Right.
You don't have to wonder, does God want me to work
right. for my family? Yeah.
Right? You take biblical principle.
Yeah.
And say, I'm going to act in faith. Now, God, please lead me and direct me into a job that will honor you, that will be able to provide for my family,
yeah.
that will not sacrifice my family on my job's behalf. All these things, right, where you apply biblical principles. But we already know that according to God's will, God's word, we know his will. And his will is as a husband, as a father, yeah. as a provider,
mm-hmm.
you are to be a providing for your family.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's no wonder or wishful thinking about when it comes to that. So,
yeah, no, 100%.
What are your thoughts on people that say, God must be abandoning me?
He must be abandoning me. Man. I think, well, first off, are they saved? Mm. Right? Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. You got to start at square one, right?
Yeah.
Because if you've just popped into church, right, and you start hearing all these things and the goodness of God and the promises of God, and you're like, man, I don't have any of that. Yeah. I don't have any of that, right? Has God just left me, right? You got to start at square one. Is that a saved individual?
Yeah.
Now, if we are talking about a saved individual, right, which probably most everyone here that's going to be listening to this podcast is, I go back to kind of what I said earlier of God has given us his word.
Yeah.
That's his love letter to us.
Yeah.
Has God abandoned you? No. Yeah. He gave you everything that he wanted you to know.
Yeah.
Everything that you needed to know. And I tell people, I say this all the time to the teens, and people don't like hearing this until I explain it. God's word is instructions on how you be happy in this life. Because people that are just seeking after money, they're not happy.
Right.
People that are just seeking after worldly pleasures, they're not happy.
Exactly.
People that are just seeing their own gain, they're not happy.
Yeah.
There's a bottomless pit of more, and they're never satisfied.
Yeah.
Where God, where Scripture says this and this and this and this, and there's joy and there's peace and there's satisfaction and there's we are able to be whole.
Yeah.
Right. So someone that feels like God has abandoned them, I have to just point them right back to Scripture.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, you don't do it in a... Haley actually asked me not too long ago. She said, you need to preach a message about how God handles our grief, our sadness. Because I think a lot of Christians feel like God just judges us when we're sad, right?
Sure.
Oh, well, you should just be happy because I told you to be happy. Rejoice in the Lord always, right?
Yeah.
But the Bible actually says that he is near
to
the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
I think someone that feels like God has abandoned them simply needs a reminder of the promises of Scripture.
Yeah.
That God is not far. God is not mad at you because you're sad or struggling with something. He's actually closer to you because you're struggling with something, because he cares.
Yeah.
And he loves you. And it's not just this always be happy and always have the right mindset and always do this and always that. He understands that it's a struggle.
Yeah.
And he tells us that he's a high priest that has been touched with our infirmities.
Yeah, amen.
He understands when I'm tired because I haven't gotten enough sleep. Yeah. Right? He understands when there's physical limitations because he came to this earth and experienced those same physical limitations. God is a personal God, a loving God. If you feel like God has abandoned you, I think a good practice for everyone to be in is to become very familiar with his promises.
Yeah.
The promise that he is near to the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
The promise of provision. The promise of what he gives. The promise of what he offers.
Amen.
Because if God promised it, then you can take it to the bank.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I mentioned in the message was in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him,
for
he cares for you.
It's a great verse.
And one of the things we overlook is that word cast.
Mm-hmm.
It means to throw it away.
Yeah.
Give it to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of fear and anxiety comes because we want to be in control.
Yeah.
And but we're not going to give it to God. And when I say give it to God, I'm not saying neglect your responsibilities. This mother had a maternal responsibility to care for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that maternal responsibility led her to take action.
Yeah, exactly.
God is leading all of us to take action. Right. And I want to encourage you, if you're in the Lynchburg or Roanoke or surrounding areas and you don't attend a church, one of the ways that you can be helped, the Bible talks about in the early church, to bear one another's burdens.
Yeah.
That's what the church is here for.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're feeling abandoned, if you're feeling isolated, I encourage you, we would welcome you in open arms at Calvary Baptist Church. Or find a church in your local neighborhood, you know, a local church to go in and get connected into and get help from.
Right. Absolutely. Right?
And so, what a great message it was, man. It was so fun to preach.
It was so good. It was so good. I always love, honestly, just love this story.
Yeah.
Right. I love this account in scripture of, again, and how you spelled it out. This is, she is not welcome.
Yeah.
She is not one of them.
Yeah.
She does not belong here. She doesn't fit in here. She stands out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
But she is here for Jesus. She is here for Jesus.
Yeah.
It's so good. And something else that she said that really stuck out to me was how when we hear something, we don't necessarily just hear what's said.
Yeah.
We hear our opinion.
Yeah.
On what's been said.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a temptation for her with that, right?
Yeah.
Even just hearing the silence of Jesus, she could have thought any manner of thing.
Absolutely.
I'm not a Jew, so he's racist.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anything to do with me. He hates me. He's rejected me.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have pulled all manner of different things.
Yeah.
The disciples could hear what's going on, and she's a liar. She's a deceiver. She's just trying to waste Jesus' time. Get in the way. Yeah. It could have been all manner of things, and we do that. Yeah. We do it so bad. And I see it most clearly, especially early on in my marriage.
Yeah.
Because Haley and I had differing opinions on things, right? But I would hear her talk about it and I'm like, oh no, that's ridiculous. That makes no sense. I don't like that at all. That's wrong.
Yeah.
And then she starts explaining it.
Yeah.
Because from my experience and my knowledge, I was like, exactly, that doesn't make sense. And then she starts explaining her experience and her knowledge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, maybe that makes more sense than I gave it credit for, right?
Absolutely.
And what is that? That's me hearing my opinion on what she was saying, rather than just hearing what she was saying.
Yeah.
And it's a bad habit that we all share.
That's right.
And the importance of the listening.
Yeah. We're great at problem solving.
Yeah, we are.
At our own expense.
it's so true. And sometimes we just need to let there be a clean slate with people.
Yeah.
Just whoever it is, whether it's maybe it's a complete stranger.
Yeah.
That maybe their clothes are dirty.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe they don't smell great. Maybe the conversation starts with something like a sales pitch and we're already like, I see where this is going. Right. Yeah. And maybe it's just, let's just hear.
Yeah.
Let's just listen and we'll use wisdom at the end.
Yeah.
But maybe it's someone that we do know. Right. Maybe it's someone we know.
It's almost harder when you know them well.
That's what I say. I feel like it's a lot harder when we know them. And it's like, oh, well, I've heard their opinion on this. I've heard their take on this. I've heard this. I've heard that. Yada, yada, yada.
They're not going to change. They don't want to change.
I already know how this conversation ends. Mm-hmm. Yada, yada.
Yeah.
And that's not how it's supposed to be.
That's right.
Right? There's a period. Just listen. Clean slate. Listening.
Amen. Yeah.
Right. So I thought that was really good from the message. And it was just kind of something you mentioned on the side.
Yeah.
But it is a bad habit that we have. that is worth focusing on and trying to break. Because obviously that's where the disciples were. Yeah. They saw who it was. Just get out of the way. Yeah. We don't want to hear what you have to say. We're not interested. It's not going to be good for anyone. It's not going to be productive. And Jesus probably isn't going to want to bother with you.
Yeah.
That's why they're sending her away.
That's right.
Right? Amen. Yeah. Hadn't even listened.
You know, listen to what you had just said. It reminded me of a passage of Jesus Christ is talking about the parable of the lost sheep. And he says, you know, my sheep hear my voice.
Mm, yeah.
And I know them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
That is not referring to a literal audible voice that you can discern.
Yeah.
Because sheep don't speak human.
Right.
But a sheep understands its shepherd's voice.
Yeah, for sure.
And I want to encourage you, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, it's as simple as putting your faith and trust in Him. You know, the Bible says, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us.
Yeah.
He loves you. He loves us. And all you have to do is put your faith and trust in Him and believe in Him as your Savior.
Yeah.
And He will save you. Well, with that being said, next week is back to Pastor John.
That's right.
And he's going to be teaching on a new series called Unseen Victory.
Oh, wow.
I think that unseen victory goes quite well with silence, right? No response.
Yeah.
And so witnessing by faith, not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first message we'll be covering is what must be released. And it's from John chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. And after a week of silence in Matthew 15, next week moves into what has to be let go before the Spirit can move.
Yeah.
What has to be let go before the Spirit can move. And we talked about a few things in here today about repentance and things like that.
Yeah.
Giving it to God, casting things to God. And so he's going to dive in a bit more detail when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Want to close in prayer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's pray.
Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for this message, for putting on Will's heart, Lord, to bring. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you did, Lord. It's so purposeful. And it shows us, Lord, well, that silence is not that we've been abandoned. That silence from you is not that you don't care. That silence from you is not that you're indifferent. Lord, it's none of that. Lord, it's none of that. Lord, it's up to us to worship in the silence, worship in the waiting, worship when the answer is no, when it's not the answer that we wanted to receive from you. Lord, your answer is not what's supposed to dictate our worship. Lord, it's supposed to always be there. Lord, please help us in that silence to react the way that we're supposed to let it drive us closer to you, and to not give up, not throw in the towel because you must have given up on us, because you haven't, Lord. You've not changed. Your promises are the same. You've not gone anywhere. It's just time for silence and for us to remain consistent in the silence. Please bless, Lord, as we look ahead to this unseen victory, Lord, starting up in John 16. Pray that you please bless it. Please, Lord, work on our hearts. Please bring us back Sunday stronger than we were before. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you next week for episode 16.
That's right. Well, see you guys.